I've got to share with you some of what guests and hosts say off camera. I'm not going to name anybody, by the way. I won't violate anybody's privacy on that. But, you know, I do 5 interviews a week in the evenings, or late evenings, actually. And then I'll appear on other people's shows typically a couple of times a week, or I'll have other people on my show with emergency interviews a couple times a week. So it's not unusual. I'm doing like 7, 8, even 10 interviews a week. And after each interview, this usually happens after, not before, but after each interview, there's a little bit of, you know, chat going on. Some like, oh, and by the way, I didn't want to say this publicly, but fill in the blank. That happens a lot. And what you need to know is that whatever you're hearing publicly in my interviews with guests and hosts and so on, privately off the air, it's usually far more dire. it's just that a lot of the people I interview, you know, they're cautious with their public words, which is great. I think that's a very wise strategy. You don't want to raise undue alarm if you can't, you know, fully back it up, for example. You don't want to name a date if you can't back it up for something big to happen and so on. But it's very frequent that I hear people say, well, that was a great interview, and let me tell you something else. And then, boom, they unload something. And usually it's followed by, and I can't completely verify it yet, but I think based on, you know, all these data points or whatever it is, I think that the following is going to happen. So if you wonder where do I get my information about like why a crash, you know, a financial crash is imminent. Why is Russia about to invade Ukraine, it seems? Why is China engaged in an economic war against the United States? Why are we looking at the collapse of Western Europe and so on? This is one of the big reasons why. It's not just me imagining it. It's actually off-air additional information that has not yet been made public. And that's just one of the sources of where that comes from. Now, on top of that, there are sources that feed me information that I do not interview and have never interviewed, right? So these are sources inside various organizations, whatever. You can figure it out. You know, I trained with a lot of special forces type of guys, and I've got a lot of friends and buddies in law enforcement, military, you know, former FBI, and so on and so forth. And so they feed me information that I think is very valuable that goes into the mix of arriving at conclusions. And then I also get information from other people, not even during an interview, but people who are themselves well-informed about what's going to happen. And I will just name, for example, Steve Quayle. So Steve Quayle has a very well-developed, let's say, network of contacts, and other people like that who are well-informed, and they'll send me stuff, or they'll make me aware of things that I wasn't aware of, or sometimes they have actual intel from somebody on the ground. Could be somebody in Ukraine, could be somebody at the border, you know, the U.S. border. It could be somebody within government, somebody within the State Department, what have you. There are a lot of whistleblowers out there, believe it or not, who want to get information out. And the good news in all of this, and just for the record, folks, I am 100% pro-America, in case there was ever any doubt. I want America to succeed. I want America to thrive. I want to get America back to its golden age days. And I believe that in order to do that, we've got to dismantle and defeat the criminal cabal that's currently running America. And we've got to give America back to we the people, where we can have you know, free market ideas and innovation, entrepreneurship, and so on. So despite some of my coverage of Russia, for example, and how much I despise Zelensky in Ukraine and his total corruption and the money laundering operation, which is the war funding of Ukraine, do not make any mistake. I am not opposed in any way to America. I love America, and I want America to succeed. It's just that the criminals in charge have gotten us far away from what America was supposed to be, right? We see that every single day. We're not supposed to have a politicized FBI running tyrannical, you know, coercion campaigns against political enemies, for example. But yet that's happening. It seems like right now you're more of a criminal if you utter a prayer near an abortion center than if you join, let's say, Antifa and throw Molotov cocktails at federal buildings and set them on fire. It's just incredible. So praying is a crime, but arson is not. That's America, and we've got to correct that. And I do think that correction is coming. Now, in the meantime, and this is kind of the main emphasis of this podcast, multiple sources from that whole pool that I just mentioned, all those different vectors, multiple sources are telling me that they don't see the U.S. stock market or even the U.S., well, elements of the banking system surviving past the end of November or December of this year. Doesn't mean total collapse of everything, but it does mean major stock market corrections, 50% or more. And it also means that some banks will fail. Again, not all of them. And there will be desperate efforts by the government to try to bail out the banks that, you know, have the most political power, such as JP Morgan Chase, for example. I don't know where Wells Fargo stands in all of this, or Bank of America, what have you, but there are going to be some major banks that fail or that are about to fail and end up in a merger. So I wouldn't be surprised to see bank mergers in the very near future to make like bigger mega banks, by the way, which will roll out the ESG scoring system, and they'll cancel you and they'll fine you like PayPal wanted to do and so on. But a major financial correction, or asset correction, you could say, is coming, and it now appears imminent. And this is very different from when I was putting out documentaries several years ago and saying things like, you know, eventually this money printing system is going to crater. Yeah, we know that eventually, because you just can't keep printing money forever. But we have now arrived at eventually. It's now here. We are very, very close to the end of this current system. And now, in order to end the system and cover the tracks, the people who committed these crimes of money printing and mass looting, they have to have a world war. They have to have a bigger crisis to cover up the evidence of the crisis they just got away with. So this is why America is provoking Russia into a world war in Europe, and also provoking China into trying to attack the United States. That was the entire point of the semiconductor order from Biden that basically annihilated China's semiconductor industry overnight. That, I've compared that to the U.S. Navy carrying out a naval blockade of Japan's energy inputs, you know, oil shipments back in the 1940s. And that was a method to get Japan into the war, to attack the United States, so that then the United States could claim victim and get massive popular support to join the war against Japan. So it could be at one level that the banking problems that are coming might be the least of your concerns, because we're going to be in an escalating world war at the same time. But there is no doubt in my mind, based on all this information I'm receiving, that the financial system is in deep, deep trouble. And although it's always difficult to name a date, the tipping point of financial collapse is almost here. And as I've covered before, it's probably going to start in Europe, and it will probably involve Japan, and then it will involve U.S. markets, a stock market, bond market, real estate market, in addition to the U.S. dollar currency, although that may be the last to fall, and that might take place sometime next year. But we're likely to see the stock market get hit very, very hard really soon here, that is within a matter of weeks. Followed by, if the markets go low enough, we could see systemic banking failures. And actually, that's been publicly talked about by some of my guests as well. Now, are we going to make it to Election Day? I don't know. It's still a couple of weeks out, and there's a lot that the deep state could do between now and then to try to cancel the election. And I have to think that this attack on China, the semiconductor economic warfare attack, you know, folks, that's very similar to the cancellation of Russia from the SWIFT system. Very similar. And it's putting China in a position where the nation is going to have to lash out very soon in order to try to end the economic suffocation of its semiconductor industry, which is one of the major industries that China is, you know, that's one of its major exports. If not, I don't know if that's the largest export, but it's certainly right up there among the largest, okay? So that effort by Biden could be designed to try to draw China into its final surprise attack on the United States. And this is the attack that J.R. Nyquist had talked about. And remember the leaked audio out of southern China with the war generals talking about loading up ships with gear and all of that? Well, that operation hasn't gone away, folks. That operation is still happening. And it's very clear that China was making plans to invade the continental United States. Now, you may have noticed that a lot of the merchant ship traffic has died down. So there are fewer cargo ships crossing the ocean. Well, that actually provides the perfect cover for China to use cargo ships, you know, and containers and so on, merchant ships, to hide troops and military personnel and rocket systems, you know, missiles that can be launched offshore from the containers. Because if they start adding a bunch of containers to their ocean traffic, that would just look like normal traffic levels at this point. And, you know, instead of extra traffic, it would just look like normal traffic. So that's a possibility that could happen as well. We just have to keep all of this in mind. I think China and Russia are cooperating. I think they're planning together. And note that China just ordered all of its citizens to evacuate Ukraine. So China knows that Russia is going to attack Ukraine. And some might say that Russia is going to attempt to go way past Ukraine and attack Poland, for example, and move westward into Europe while China is attacking the United States, because the U.S. is incredibly weak after the U.S. sent most of its munitions and artillery and all kinds of hardware to Ukraine, including anti-tank weapon systems, the so-called man pads and whatever they are. So the U.S. is in its most vulnerable position ever, historically, right now. And China knows it, and Russia knows it, and it looks like all of this is designed to bring down the United States. Now, the U.S. banking system and debt system is so fragile that China could unleash a shockwave across the U.S. economy just by selling off all its treasuries, for example, or halting exports to the United States. I mean, think about that. That would just be massive. And at first you might say, well, why would China do that? They need the money. No, they don't. China's already moving over to a wartime economy. They are shutting down factories, and they're using COVID lockdowns as an excuse to do that. They're shutting down factories in order to essentially halt exports to the United States so that China will focus its domestic production on its wartime economy. That's been confirmed through multiple sources. China is in this transition right now. They're no longer going to make stuff for the rest of the world, or at least not the Western world. They're going to make stuff for their war, the war on the Western world. Now, sure, China will continue to manufacture products that they trade with Russia and Iran and maybe India as well. I mean, a lot of other countries, right? Middle Eastern countries, South America, and so on. But China's not going to export at some point to the Western nations. So that's going to be just an economic, shockwave that will be felt when that day comes. And it could be very close. Now, to kind of wrap this up, the conclusion of what I want to say here is that people who are only paying attention to mainstream narratives and mainstream news and so on, they are oblivious to everything that we just covered. And they will be destroyed by the financial collapse that's coming. I mean, they will lose their bank accounts, many of them, if not most. They will lose the value of the currency they hold. They will lose their jobs in many cases. They will be destroyed by scarcity and price inflation in groceries and gasoline and all of the essential goods that people have in order to survive. So the oblivious masses, many of them will not make it. Those who pay attention, those who have good information sources, like what you're getting right here, you have the ability to look ahead and see what's coming so you can prepare. You can be ready to mobilize your finances to move them from a failing bank to a solvent bank, like a smaller local bank, for example, or some other form of asset holding that isn't subject to currency collapse. So you're going to have a forewarning here in everything that I do and the guests that I interview and the articles on naturalnews.com, the podcasts that I put out on brighteon.com, you're going to have forewarning. You're going to have, I mean, depending on the situation, let's say a financial collapse that's cascading through the system, you might get 2 weeks to 2 months advance warning compared to when the masses totally panic. And that's enough. You can do things during that period of time that can save you. Now, in terms of a nuclear war or a Chinese invasion, you may only get 2 days forewarning, but that's also enough to bug out if you're still living in some place like Los Angeles, for example. 2 days is enough to bug out. If you get 48-hour head start on the masses, you're still in relatively good shape as long as you're ready. You got to have your bug-out bag ready, your bug-out vehicle, extra gasoline, you know, the whole deal. So my goal with all of this, with my sources and contacts and intel and all of that, is to give you enough lead time to adapt, to mobilize, to do what you need to do, because it is all coming down, folks. It's just a matter of when, or kind of what it looks like, or which thing happens first. It is all coming down. And I believe that with the information you're getting here, you're going to have some advance warning that can help you survive and navigate all of this. So stay tuned to my podcast. I'm Mike Adams, of course, the Health Ranger, naturalnews.com, and also brighteon.com. Stay tuned. There's a lot more coming. And definitely check daily, because in some of these situations, you may only have, you know, a couple of days warning, and you may have to move very, very quickly. That could be moving with your feet, moving with your finances, making all kinds of adjustments, getting ready for things that are about to unfold. So God bless you. Thank you for your support. I'm going to do my best to use all the resources I have to keep you informed. I'll go public with everything I know as quickly as I can. And we'll get through this together, right? We're not going to die. We're not doomed. The oblivious people are doomed, but you and I are not doomed. So don't ever think doom and gloom. We prepare. We survive. We adapt. We are resilient. We can make it through. We will rebuild. It'll just be a country with far fewer people. Seriously. It's not going to be the same population. We're not going to have 300 plus million people left when this thing runs its course. Not even close. All right. Take care.